A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When Judas had left them, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and God will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little while longer. I give you a new commandment: love one another. As I have loved you, so you also should love one another. This is how all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
My name is Father Frank, and you can find me, just go down I-65 to the Tennessee border and go west 50 miles. I am a Glenmary priest, and I was pastor there. But after I turned a little over 80, I just couldn't keep up anymore. They move so much faster. And so I retired, and now I've made myself available for Unbound. And I'm very grateful to Father Joel for welcoming, to inviting Unbound to come here. He didn't have to do this. This is a free decision on his part. But, and you all have been so friendly, and Deacon Jeff has been so hospitable. It's just been a wonderful experience for me. Unbound is a Catholic organization that sponsors children, mostly in developing countries, who are very poor. When I said mostly, about 10% of the people that are sponsored are adults who can no longer make it on their own either. And we'll get into that at some depth, but we'll be out before one, so don't worry. Because first we need to look at the gospel, the scripture readings. Those are much more important than what I'm going to say. We read, as Catholics, we read the scriptures every weekend, and we have been doing it for 2,000 years. But we don't do it just because it's a good habit that we're in. We do it because we need it. I need it. As you, I am a child of God, a member of his family. Well, if I'm a member of a family, I need to learn how the family lives, what the values are. How am I going to know how to think like this family or act like a member of the family of God without hearing it in the scriptures? I'm not going to get it from turning on television, whether it's educational or commercial. That's why we read the scriptures every day. So let's try to, for a moment, unpack what we heard in that gospel reading. I'm going to be focusing on the gospel this morning. The setting was that Jesus and his disciples had just celebrated the highlight of their year, as Jews do today yet, celebrating the Passover, the Seder meal, when they commemorated the freedom that they had won, that God had given them 1,200 years earlier when they became a nation. They'd been slaves, for goodness sake. They were forced to kill their kids in Egypt. But in with the work of God, they were made free. They were given a country. God said, I will take care of you. You belong to me, and I belong to you. That was an incredible gift they had in a relationship they had with God. That's why we still read the Old Testament, too, because there's truth there in abundance. That's why we call the Jews our brothers, because we have the same God. Jesus was doing that, but then remember what he did at that Last Supper. We call it the Last Supper. He gave his disciples his body and blood. And within 8 hours, he was going to be hanging on a cross, dead, with his blood on the ground beneath him. He had given himself for us so that we could have life. What hope would we have for life if he had not done that? What would happen in 100 years after we were born? Most of us would be laid out in maybe a nice coffin, but put in the ground and buried. Without much hope, we wouldn't have had it. But because he died and rose, now we have the hope not only of happiness here, but of incredible happiness for eternity. As I tell my people back home, the best is yet to come. Whether you're 5 years old or 50 years old or 90 years old, the best is yet to come. And he was telling them at this banquet that they had just had that he was going to be leaving, he was going to be dying, that he had a request of them before he died, as parents can do sometimes. He requested, I want you to love one another as I have loved you. That's the standard. We don't have to love each other a great deal, just as much as he did. Just be willing to give our lives for some other people. Not to live our life centered on ourselves or our little family, but to live our lives for others. Loving others, doing good for others, making the lives of others better. And then he said, that's how people will know that you're my follower. If you do that, if you love, if you live for others to make the lives of others better. That's what I do. That's what you want to do. And that's honestly what Unbound was started for. Started by 5 people sitting in a pew in Kansas City, Missouri. They said, we hear that and we want to do that, we want to follow that, we've got to have something more practical. How can I do that today? So 2 of them happened to be young men who had volunteered, one in Guatemala and the other one down in Colombia. They had volunteered in a school, and they said, we did good work down there. We made their lives better. That was right. But we'd left an awful lot untouched because the people who could come to us had enough money to pay tuition. All of those kids we saw on the streets, they don't have money for tuition. So they don't have that fine education. Why don't we set up some kind of a system that we can sponsor kids so they can reach their goals, reach their dreams? So that's what they did. The 5 of them pooled their Christmas card lists and started writing to them, asking them if they would be interested in doing this. So it started out pretty small, about 40 years ago. Right now, Unbound is sponsoring 280,000 people this morning. They're each getting a subsidy so that they can reach their dreams. I've only been involved 9 years. I sponsored a young fellow down in Costa Rica until he graduated from high school. And then he didn't quite have the motivation to go on. He was going to go to junior college, but didn't. So he went to work and cut himself off then. So I no longer have him. I'm sponsoring a young fellow now in Guatemala and in one in Kenya. The poverty, I got close to the first one, Isaac. I got close to him. Because you write letters back and forth. And you'd get a new picture from them once a year. And I don't have many pictures, but I would find something I would of me to send to him. But we would get close to each other. I had his picture on my refrigerator, just like any grandparent does. And I said, I want to meet him. I want to see his situation. I want to meet his family. And I want to see what this Unbound is about. So 5 years ago, I went down to Costa Rica. And I saw, and it was wonderful. Eye-opening for me. They had told me that his dad was a day laborer in construction. Now, you know, day laborers really don't have a job because they go out every morning and stand on the street corner or in the parking lot and wait and see if a truck picks them up. They hop on and then they work, and if they don't pick them up, they don't have anything that day. So his father did that. And they told me he makes about $120 a month income for a family of five. Well, I try to work. I live off of a budget my whole life, and I couldn't figure out how you would possibly split up $120 a month for food, clothes, and all the other incidentals expenses for a family of five. I worked on it for a while, and I just couldn't do it. So when I went down there, I learned. What you do is you just decide as a family. Our family doesn't eat meat. Our family doesn't eat eggs. Our family doesn't drink milk. Because I priced it out down in Walmart in Costa Rica. And milk at that time was $4 a gallon. $4 a gallon. I was paying $1.20 a gallon. So his income didn't cover any of those things. So they decided, they don't do this consciously. This is what all poor people do. We eat beans and rice for breakfast, and we eat beans and rice for lunch, and we eat beans and rice for supper. And we eat it on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and every day. So when they sent me, when I got a picture of little Isaac, a 9-year-old boy, he was skinny as a rail. And now I understood. Those beans and rice are healthy foods. But you don't eat the same food every day for a month and take the same helping. Even yourselves, if you eat leftovers for 6 days in a row, I guarantee you your plate is not as full as it was the first day. It might have the same taste, but you don't eat as much. That's what he was doing. He just wasn't eating as much. So I learned that. I learned how Unbound works. I couldn't imagine how that family made it. But then when I met them, they had a sense of dignity, a sense of hope, a sense of optimism. They weren't complaining. Like sometimes I go into a home and there's a lot of complaining going on, complaining about this set of government or complaining about that issue. They were hopeful and forward-looking. And I couldn't figure that out at first, and then I realized what Unbound had done for them was it had preserved and increased their dignity, their self-respect. Because here's how Unbound works. It's not like a charity that I've always worked with, where the ones who are in charge make the decisions as to how much you can have and what it can be used for. And if, then you take it. You're the receiver, you're the passive person. You're not making the decisions. With Unbound, they have the family sit down and work out their short-range goals and their long-range goals. And then they're given a monthly stipend. They know ahead of time what it's going to be and how long it'll last. And they make the decisions about how they're going to improve their family, improve their situation. So they end up with incredible amount of dignity. And that's just so, so refreshing. I've been a Glenmary priest for 59 years. I've worked with the poor in Georgia and Mississippi and Tennessee, and now I'm in Kentucky. I've always worked with the poor, and I've done some good work. I've helped hundreds and hundreds of families make it through crises. You know, when their lights were turned off, and get the lights turned back on, and get medicine, and get food paid for, rent and stuff like that. But I was never as effective because I was doing something different. I and all the charities, they look at a situation and see what's the problem and what can we do to help them through that problem. So they help them through the problem, it's good. But a month later, they're back in the same position they were before. So there's no real advancement. Unbound does something different. It says, don't look at poverty, look at potential. What can he become? What can she become? And that's what they have the family doing. And so they're forward looking, and then when they make a decision, it's their decision, and their self-respect is increased. And that's just so, so valuable, so important. That's my personal involvement. The big picture of Unbound is this. I told you they started 40 years ago with a small number, and now they sponsor 282,000 people, 90% of them children, 10% adults. And now they started in Central America. Now they work in 19 countries. Still heavy in Central America and Northern South America, but also in East Africa, in Madagascar, in the Philippines, and in India. So it's really a big organization, but they focus all the time on the people who they were helping, not on themselves. So they needed an international headquarters. Obviously, with that many people sending donations every month, you've got to have a lot of record keeping in that. So what they did, instead of building a nice flashy building, they took over an old warehouse. Cheap, you don't spend much money for that. They decorate it with blankets, and it's interesting, it's pretty. But that makes them very effective and efficient. You know how much their chief executive makes? When I went down there for training, I asked them. And I found out their chief executive, their president of this international organization with handling millions and millions of dollars, he makes just about exactly the same salary as we pay the high school principal in Todd County, Kentucky. And Kentucky does not overpay teachers. It's a living salary, but it's nothing flashy. He wouldn't take it for the money. He took the value of the work. And that's the way the whole operation works. It is just incredibly impressive for me. So that's why I decided to offer my time to talk to other people like you and invite you to become sponsors. That's what I'm here for today. And those of you who are on the online listening to this Mass, you can also become sponsors. Here I have, right now there are 31 booklets out, two tables in back, with the pictures of people that can be sponsored. People like a young fellow, Pao, 9-year-old boy from the Philippines. Pao's birthday is on November the 8th. Pao is in an intact family, good family, but his dad has got a job, a real job, in security, but it just doesn't bring in enough to feed four boys. It's four kids, four boys in the family, and they just can't make it go. This is Jasmini. Jasmini is a 9-year-old girl, and she's from Tanzania. Her birthday is January 7th. Jasmini lives with her father and her brother, and her grandparents and an extended family. There's like 13 in the household. But their parents broke up. They separated. So she doesn't have a mother. And that's tough. The father is just a day laborer in agriculture. So he doesn't bring in much money. There's just not enough. And she just needs some help to make it through life. And this is an example of an elderly person, Marina. Marina is a 68-year-old woman from Guatemala. She used to work in the field, but she got too old for that. So she's no longer working. Her husband has got a steady job as a bricklayer assistant. And I happen to know how much they make because I visited Guatemala and I met a man who is a bricklayer assistant. And he works 11 hours a day and he makes $6 a day. $6 a day. How in the world can you make it on that? A lot of the elderly need help getting medicine just so they can stay alive. So the people that are available have already been vetted. You make your choice and you develop the relationship. But you can't go wrong. You can't make a mistake because these people are all vetted by their peers that they're in real need. As I said, there are 31 of them on the tables. I'll meet you at the tables afterwards and ask you to become sponsors. To become a sponsor, you first pick your person and then you fill out a simple form. The sponsorship is not cheap. It's $40 a month, which is significant. I recognize that I'm asking for a significant commitment on your part. Now you can, if you need to, you can drop out anytime you want to just by informing Kansas City. It's $40 a month. You can pay by bank draft, credit card, check, or cash. And you can do that same way today. But when you give that money, remember always that 92 cents of every dollar, more than 92 cents, goes to the family, to the couple, to the people. Less than 8% is spent on salaries, on administration, and on fundraising. Unbound does not waste your money, believe me. And encourage you to check it out when you get home, to Google Better Business Bureau, Charity Watch, Charity Navigator, any of these agencies that monitor charities, and to see where how unbound rates. And you'll find out that it's almost always right at the top. It is so efficient. It is amazing. When you sponsor, you'll be making an immediate change in the life of the people. Because with our electronics, if you sponsor, say, Jasmini today with email and that, she'll be notified within 10 days. The family will know it. They won't know who you are. They won't have received a letter from you yet. And you won't know much about her except what's in here. But they will know one thing very important to them, that they are no longer walking alone. That there's somebody willing to walk with them. Not to carry the whole load. Your $40 isn't going to give them everything they want, obviously. But it's going to be a step towards helping them make it. Because like anybody else, everybody wants to make it. And we'd like to achieve some of our dreams. And parents want to see their kids reach their dreams. And grandparents want kids to achieve their dreams. And this is a step that you're taking to help them. Also, you might not see it right away, but I'm willing to bet that you'll find a change in yourself. One thing simple is that when there's a disaster, when there's fires, and when there's earthquakes, we have a natural tendency to want to help. I want to help the people of Ukraine, but I don't seem to have any kind of a handle. I don't know how to get money to them. I don't know how to help them. And so lots of times I just can't do anything. But when that happens, you will know at least you're doing something to make this world better. And that's just true. And when you do it, then you're following what Jesus said, to love others, make the lives of others better. Don't worry about yourself as much. So thank you very much. And I'm asking you to consider becoming a sponsor. I said we've only got 31, but we can get more. If we run out of them this morning, I'll have them by this afternoon. I promise that. Because there's 20,000 waiting to be sponsored. The 280,000 is how many are sponsored, and that's wonderful. But there are 20,000 waiting, and you can help them. Thank you, and God bless you.